We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Your official station to talk Giants.
I've had good talks with KT. I've had good talks with some of the other guys.
The Fan on 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
Ayo. Make that hotline bling. People calling up. Keith McPherson on the Fan inside the 1 o'clock hour, KM to 2 a.m. Let's let the fans talk. Let's let the Yankee fans call the Fan and hear what they got to say. I'm with y'all. Back to the Bronx. Danny, you got it. What's up,
hey,
Danny?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking the call. I love your show.
Thank you.
So I tell you, I watched the game tonight on TV. They were unbelievable. I mean, you can never count them out. You really can't. And I think that their team right now, I don't think they need to make any trades. They got great chemistry and attitude, and they're so resilient. You know, and somebody else steps up every time.
Yep.
I mean, they're just unbelievable.
I mean, a lot of people were calling for Joey Gallo today, 0 for 4, yeah. 3 strikeouts. But like I've said, it doesn't matter. He's the number 9 hitter. They make up for it.
And he's a great outfielder.
Right, and he brought his glove. He seems to bring his glove a little more in right field. He had that great play early in the game, like I said.
That was a home run. And I got one question about arbitration. Say Judge is going to arbitration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what if he doesn't agree with the amount they come up with at arbitration? Can he just deny it and go to free agency?
No. The arbiter will decide. Like, so it's basically like two sides coming together to argue why the Yankee side thinks he's worth $17 million and his camp thinks he's worth $21 million, and they will argue why, you know, he's worth what he is on each side, and then the arbiter will decide what he actually is worth. It'll probably be somewhere in the middle, or maybe it'll be, I don't know, depends how the Yankees proceed with this one. I just think it would be crazy for them to get on I'm not even going to speak it into existence because I just don't think that they're going to disrespect that man. I don't think they're going to talk down on him at this point. I know it's business, but it would just be crazy to go in there and disrespect Aaron Judge and say, he's not worth what he thinks he's worth to save $4 million. You're going to pay this guy over $300 million.
Right. But what if he doesn't accept the arbiter's?
He's under contract, so like it doesn't matter whether like he can't. It doesn't matter what he accepts. Like he has to accept it. He's playing. He's under contract for the rest of this year.
It's not for the rest of this year.
Rest of this year, and that's the whole thing, right? The whole thing is once this year is over, his contract is up, and then he can hit free agency.
Yeah, that clears it up. All right, thanks, Keith.
Appreciate no problem.
That. I was wondering about that. All right, bro. Take care.
Thanks, man. I mean, I don't know everything about arbitration and the hearings and how it goes. I don't want to. I remember in 2015 or 2016 when the stuff came out about Dellin Betances, who I was a big fan of, I was like, oh, man, they did him dirty. And I was actually at a couple of those games. I think it was a Dodgers game that year that he blew, and they used that against him. And I just felt bad for the guy. It's so hard to be good at baseball. And then when you're at that level and your team that employs you, that like Dellin Betances is a New Yorker. I think he grew up rooting for the Yankees. And then the Yankees undress you in this arbitration case and they say, nah, you're not that good. You blew this. You gave up this many runs and you're this and you're that. And it's like, wow. Tell me how y'all really feel about me. I can't see them doing that to Judge. The price went up. Yesterday's price is not today's price. I can't see them going in there and saying, well, from our calculations and our paperwork, Aaron Judge should not be. No, it would make no sense. You're going to pay this guy. I said last night, I think he's going to command like $35 million a year. And it might be more depending on who his potential suitors are. And if he does go through this season wins a World Series, wins an MVP, the numbers are not going to matter. It's just going to go to the highest bidder. And the Yankees have to outbid. They outbid everyone for Gerrit Cole. They better outbid everyone for Aaron Judge. The way that the stadium, I could hear it on the radio, the way that the stadium, the fans celebrated Aaron Judge coming to the plate like it was an automatic win. Like, it's done. Fans love this guy. I love this guy. Little kids wear his jersey. And if you were to not sign Aaron Judge in this offseason, you would actually lose Yankees fans that root for the laundry and root for the pinstripes year after year after year. There are some people that would probably opt out and might just follow Judge wherever he goes. So I don't think they play with fire like that. I don't think the Yankees are like, you know, everybody talks about what the Yankees are going to do or what Hal's going to do or what Cashman. They're not stupid. At the end of the day, Aaron Judge is a guy that they drafted, who came up the ranks in their system they developed, who's carrying them this season, and this is one of the best seasons we've seen since 98 or whenever. They would be fools to let this guy go elsewhere. And I don't think he wants to go anywhere else. He just wants to be paid what he's worth in this league. The guy's playing center field. The guy's hitting multiple home runs in games. You rest the guy, he comes back and hits two bombs. I wish I bet that. I thought about it, and I'm on betting break this week, so I didn't even bother. But yeah, Aaron Judge, I put out a tweet earlier. I said, imagine going into this case tomorrow and not saying Aaron Judge is worth $1 billion. He's worth the what the guy is worth. You can't put a price on it right now. He's the captain. He's the leader. That's another thing. I need him to get signed so they can put that captaincy on him. We were calling for that last year. Fans were saying he's the captain because he was being clutch at times and he was just making plays, offense and defense. That ball that there was a ball that Yordan Alvarez smoked. I was in Delta, so I could hear it pretty well. It was cracked. And that ball was in the gap, smoked to the wall. Who's there in center to pick that ball up and keep it to a single? Aaron Judge. The cannon. The guy's got a cannon arm. He picks up the ball on the warning track, throws it in the second. Yordan Alvarez is putting the brakes on. Oh, I can't make it to second. They don't run on Judge. Pay that man. I don't have to campaign for him. I don't have to campaign for him. Let's go back to the Bronx. Rudy's in the Bronx. Rudy's on the fan. You got it.
Hey, Pete. You cracked me up, man.
I'm just talking the talk, you know? Just talking
I love
the talk.
It. Aaron Judge, he's the bombster, man. Anyway, I don't even know where to begin. I'm going back to the top of the show. Your monologue was absolutely the best because I did the same thing. I left the house. I ran out the door. I said, the hell with this game. And there's my girlfriend way out in New Jersey babysitting. And she said, no, they're going to win. I'm like, yeah, right. Goodbye. I got to go. Anyway, here I am in the Target parking lot listening to the game. We're talking. But, you know, the point of the story is I sent her a text message before the game. I said, don't bother watching this game because, you know, they're already losing 3-0, this and that, blah, blah, blah. She said, no, don't give up and this and that. And, you know, I've been a Yankee fan for 40 years or more. So, you know, what a win. What a win. I didn't even want these guys in the Bronx. I didn't even want them on my TV. I hate them.
You're right. That's what it is. It's because it's the Astros. They're the one team right now that if we would have lost tonight to these guys, no, it wouldn't have been a season-ending loss. No, it wouldn't have been a loss that stops us from doing what we want to do, but it would have hurt. And they came out and hit a 3-run bomb, and it was that little nerd Bregman. Like, I can't stand him. He's so smug and cocky, and he did it.
Yep.
Nah. Yep. And we came right back. 27 Absolutely. Outs, never say die. It ain't over until it's over, and the Yankees find a way to win. They left the door open.
Yeah, and I told her, I said, the stadium is full of all fools. You got to be a fool to go to the stadium and watch the freaking Astros in my house.
No, I'm not doing it.
No, that was game of the year. You're a smart man for staying all nine innings. I wish I could have stayed, but it wasn't meant for me to stay there and see that with my own eyes. I'll take the result, though.
You know, another thing, I hang out at the Toyota Terrace. I never sit. I can't sit because I'm like, forget it. I'm spastic. And, you know, listening to you that you're there, I was like, I would love to meet this guy.
I'm not hard to find. I'm really not hard to find in Yankee Stadium. I move around constantly because I'm fidgety. If, you know, if things aren't going right, I change my seat. I check my phone. People are asking. And, like, you know, I'm always by the Toyota Terrace. That's where, like, that area is. It's like standing room area. That's where the bar is.
Right.
On the big nights, it's always crowded. Always good energy over there. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I walk up and down. Like, if tonight they and people look at me like, this guy's crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I was like, come on.
Trying to win. And I can't sit in my seat and watch the Yankees have two hits and go scoreless. I'm superstitious. I'm like, all right, maybe if I change my vantage point in here, something will get going. And you know
what?
You know what happened? I changed my vantage point. I stepped completely out of the stadium. And by the time I walked to my car, I missed the first three outs in the top of the ninth, and I heard the last three outs and was able to hear John and Susan call the victory, and it was everything. I was elated. I'm literally pulling into a parking spot in front of WFAN. I park my car. I get on Instagram. I'm like, I can't believe life sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I must have worked a few neighbors up.
Yeah, hopefully they're Yankees fans. That's what I love too, right? My phone, I'm driving, so I'm not on my phone. People drive crazy on the Harlem River Drive. There was two accidents that I dodged. So I'm not checking my phone, but once I get to WFAN, I check my phone, and it's just blue dots, texts from like everybody that's a Yankees fan that either talk to me about this game or text me during this game like, this sucks, can't believe the Astros are this good, these guys are going to lose, or people that are saying, hey, it ain't over. Even one of my friends hit me like, you left the game. I'm like, I have to go to work. Yes,
yeah,
I
have. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. You know, there was a time back in the 90s that the Yankees were down 5 runs, and they scored 6 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning. It was amazing.
Yeah.
The crowd, the roof was going out. It was, the whole stadium was shaking, and nobody wanted to leave. And they were trying to, like, excuse me, everybody's got to get out. Ah, I ain't leaving.
Nah, people are not leaving. They're singing. They're singing Frank. They play New York, New York on a loop. They're singing it until they stop playing it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I mean, I grew up with pinstripes, so. It's amazing. Good. I was born a pinstripe.
Good. I talk about the young kids getting to experience this for the first time, but I love that it's restoring the feeling for the fans that have, like, seen the Yankees win the World Series, right? We're in a little bit of a drought, but how great is it to be like, hey, I'm still here watching this team, and they're just as good as some of these other teams I've seen, and this might be a championship year.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
So would I. Thanks for the call, Rudy. I mean, start spreading the news. Start thinking about October. I know it's not that far away, but it is far away. There's a lot to do in between, but it's baseball. You guys have seen this. We've watched baseball year after year after year. This team isn't going to magically, like, fall off the face of the earth. There's multiple guys that play hero every night. I said earlier, the unlikeliest of heroes. Aaron Hicks hits a 3-run bomb. I said, I'm in the stadium every time he gets up and people are talking down on Hicksy. And I want to see Hicks do well. And if you actually look at his week, he's had a great week. Technically, Hicks can be spoken on as the guy that won a couple games for us this week. Judge will get credit for the walk-off hit and single, but Hicks had to hit that ball out to put the 3 runs to tie it on. He had a big hit in Toronto, a big hit in Tampa. Put some respect on Aaron Hicks' name. I've said to you guys, when he started to hit earlier in this month, I said to you guys, if Hicks starts to hit, if they unlock Aaron Hicks in this lineup with the rest of these guys, like Rizzo going the way he's going, and obviously Judge being an all-star, and Trevino popping up with some clutch hits, Stanton obviously tonight showed up. If you can get Aaron Hicks to hit and maybe even Joey Gallo here and there, the Yankees won't be stopped. They won't be stopped. All right, we took a bunch of calls from the Bronx. Let's go to Islip and talk to Joe next. What's up, J-O-E?
Yo, what's up, Keith? Just got back home, sitting on my floor in my home. I didn't realize that was you in 203.
That was leading the roll call, yeah. with the dreads and the glasses and the headband.
Yeah. No, I was like the kid with the white kid with the glasses in the Severino jersey.
Oh, word. Right front, yeah. Yep.
That's so sick. Yeah. No, I think you did a good job. They didn't let off the FL2A chance. I think
it was tough. I said earlier, I was like, I picked a day that it was tough to actually get roll call in because everybody was either booing or doing the F. Altuve right away. And I'm with the actual creatures that have done tons of roll calls, and we're trying to quiet people down, but we were able to get it in. It worked out, and we won. If I would have led roll call and we lost, I was like, never again. That's not for me. But like I'm with the creatures. I've been with the creatures for 4 years, and you know, being on WFAN, man, they show me love. The first time I was on WFAN in August of last year, the next like weekend I got with the creatures and they're all like, yo, you killed it. You're going to be on WFAN. And I wasn't even believing it yet, but all the creatures were like, yo, you're going to be on WFAN. We listen to you. We rock with you. We're proud of you. And fast forward to now, Tina wanted me to lead roll call. I picked tonight because it's the Astros. It's the biggest series of the season. And if we would have lost that game and it was my first time leading roll call, like I said, I walked out sick. I was like, man, it's my fault. I'm cursed. I cursed us. I shouldn't have done that. Nope.
No, you did a great job, man. But I want to say this is actually my first time going to a game like by myself with my friend. And it was, I mean, like, you know, we took the Yankees got like a college student discount. So we went there and, you know, my friend, they never won a game when he went there. So we're like, oh no, it's just cursed and all that. That's, you know, the first game we go to along, we're with the creatures. No, we're going crazy. When Hicks hit that home run, I was lucky enough to get it on video.
Awesome.
I swear the whole place, it was wild. It was
awesome.
I've been to a playoff game before, the Greg Bird home run in 2017. It was pretty much just like that. It was insane.
So I said it was postseason energy in there tonight. It was packed in there. People were standing. I could hear it on the radio, and, you know, I don't feel bad that I didn't get to see it. I've been in there for some great moments, and I'll be in there for this run in October for sure. We're going to have to figure something out with WFA, and I'm not leaving postseason game.
No, definitely not this year.
Nah, I can't. Well, I might have to just go upstairs and jump on the mic with John and Susan and take it from there with Sweeney.
Let's go. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, one thing, though, it looks, if I had to point out something, it looks like our starting pitching, they might be getting a little bit gassed out because, like, other than Cole on, I think it was Monday night, they looked a little bit like that and looked as sharp.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because we saw Nestor not have it. We saw Monty not have it. We saw Tyone not have it. Well, you know, these guys were pitching like aces. These guys had a great start, but it's a long season. And that made me think, right, people were talking about the deadline. Maybe there's a starter out there to get. Or you add Domingo Germán in the mix. Maybe we have a six-man rotation. I think they're going to work on some things. They're going to figure it out because when you look at these guys like Nestor, His 93 innings, he's going to hit that wall, we think. Severino's coming off Tommy John. Like, I don't know how long we're going to stretch him out. Cole has done it, but, like, with Garrett Cole, we hope now he's good, right? His last two out of three starts, I think he's been good, but we hope he's good the rest of the way. Tyone had ankle surgery, and in years past, he hadn't pitched that much. So I think they're going to slow it down with him, too. It's just I think they're fully aware of it and they have a plan. Don't be surprised if, like, you know, last year when the Yankees traded and got Andrew Heaney, obviously he sucked. But they got Andrew Heaney as a guy that could eat innings, that could start some games and eat innings, and they thought the Yankees would be able to overcome it. No, this guy was trash and they lost most of his starts. But maybe this year they get an innings eater, a guy that can be a starter that actually does the job and the Yankees win.
I think an extra bullpen arm might be good too.
And maybe an extra bullpen arm, but the way I see it, they're planning on Britton being back in like August, September. Loaisiga is on the mend. They might be bringing Domingo Germán out of the bullpen, Chapman out of the bullpen. There's already a bunch of guys in the bullpen. They sent Clark Schmidt down. Like, there's just not that much room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Like, I just thought you don't want to get them worn out. That's kind of what happened in 2019 against the Astros in that series.
Sure.
I
mean, speaking of Zach Britton, yeah. Zach Britton spoke on it at the end of the year. He said the bullpen is taxed. It's not a recipe for success, and that's why you need starting pitching. So maybe we go to a 6-man rotation. Domingo Herman in 2019 was the ace of the staff. Let's see what he has. I know he's not a fan favorite. I know there's a lot of people that want him far away from the team, but he's on the team. Mm. Let's see what he's got.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say one more thing. No, my dad's listening. He does not like Giancarlo Stanton. He says he can't hit in the clutch. He says he's a waste and he doesn't fit on the Yankees. I hope he was watching that home run tonight.
I was about to say, hitting the clutch. We saw him go mm-hmm. Barry Bonds in 2020 postseason. You know what I love about mm-hmm. Stanton? He crushes the Red Sox. He knows Yankees fans hate the Red Sox. He crushes them. He knows Yankees fans hate the Astros. Crush them. So I'm fine with Stanton, a guy that shows up mm-hmm. when we really need him. I don't care about a random game against the Orioles or, you know, against the Royals or something. If he shows up when the lights are brightest, that's the kind of guy you want.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate it, though. Thank you so much for having me on. Let's go, Yankees.
Good call, Joe. Yeah, I mean, expect this thing to change. In the past, they always said the Yankees didn't have the pitching. In the past, it was like, yeah, they got some hitters, but they lacked the pitching. And then we get to the postseason, and it's like, you don't have the pitching or the hitting. This year, the Yankees have a lot of pitching. The Yankees have a lot of guys. They'll need to get some other guys going to pitch, to eat innings, to give those guys a break. And I think there's plenty of arms. Guys are on the mend. I'm not too worried about that. And Cash, we trust. I think Cashman's going to work on a deal to maybe get another starter and maybe another bullpen arm and maybe another outfielder. If I had to guess the three priorities going into the trade deadline, it's another outfielder that can lead off, that can play center, maybe play left, center, and right, a starter that can eat innings where it's like, you know, I don't know, a series where it's against a team that we don't care about later on in the year. And it's like, or even like, you know, coming up, like Oakland coming up, like, all right, let's throw this guy and see what happens. We can do that, right? This year, didn't like J.P. Sears start a game and Clark Schmidt started a game? Like, expect to see some of those type of things coming up to give guys like Nestor a break, Seve a break, Tyone a break, Monty a break. Gerrit Cole is a workhorse. I think Gerrit Cole is used to throwing a lot of innings, so I'm not expecting them to try and give him a break, but to make sure that these guys finish the race, to make sure that these guys are good when we do get to the finish line in October. All right, let's go to Ben in T-Neck next up on the Fan.
Hello?
B-E-N, Ben, that's you. You're on.
Oh, nice. So I was just wanted to talk a little bit about the Yankees. I was lucky enough to be there tonight.
Awesome.
I got, so basically I like, it was so just incredible being there. Like, it was like the most crowded game I've ever been to. It was packed.
Yeah.
It was like playoff vibes.
Been a while since it's been that packed, right?
So crazy. Yeah. Like, I've been to a few games this year. I went to like the Trevino walk-off and then Blue Jays game also. Like, but it was, none of them were close to as packed as it was tonight. It was like really crazy.
Yeah, as we're getting more into the summer and the Yankees are winning more and they're staying in first place, I feel like more and more people are coming to the stadium. You're getting a completely mixed bag of fans. There's a lot of diehards in there that, you know, live and die with every pitch, but there's also some people that, you know, they just live and die with every drink. That's fine.
Yeah, I hear that. But also, I'm saying with, like, Aaron Judge, I know it's like what everyone's saying, but if they don't re-sign him, it's going to be the worst thing of all time.
Impossible. Like, I don't see a world where the Yankees say,
yeah,
he's too expensive for us. You're rich.
Yeah, like I obviously I bought grandstand tickets with my friends, but I got down into, what's the section behind home plate, like behind Legends 118 maybe?
118, 119, 120, yeah. 121, yep.
So I got into that, and like even after the game, like still like hundreds of fans were like going with MVP chants. He's just like the hero.
It's rocking. It's rocking. Judge comes up his first at bat. It's MVP, MVP. I said when we were in the bleachers and Jose Trevino comes out just to warm up and it's hip, hip, Jose, 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 Jose. Like the fans are locked in. And even if you don't, you know the game as much or you're not a super fan, you can join in on a chant.
Yeah. Like before the game, when Jose, he came over to sign autographs by like 109, like people were just going crazy with every player. Everyone's just in love with his team.
It's crazy how, like Jose Trevino, none of us thought about last season. None of us thought in the offseason. And now he's already like a cult classic. He's like a cult hero. He comes out to warm up with, Jameson Taillon, and the bleachers are going nuts for the guy. And he's a guy that grew up a Yankees fan. He's a guy that dreamed of playing in Yankee Stadium. I'm telling you, there's some special mojo around these guys, this team, the Ghosts. Like, we're long overdue for a team like this, for a run like this. It feels right.
Yeah, like when Jose came up in the bottom ninth, like, I wouldn't have even been surprised if he walked. Like, you were expecting him to hit something.
Right, because you've seen it. You've seen it. You have faith. You have confidence in these guys. And they feed off that. They have ears. They have senses. They can feel that the fans are like, yeah, here it comes. Like, I'm telling you, I got to go back. I know you can't rewind the live broadcast, but I'm speeding down the Harlem River Drive, and I hear Judge's music and Judge coming up. And I'm like, the fans are loud like we just won the game.
Yeah, there's a guy, he said, there's a guy next to me. Like, my friend was, he's a Mets fan, but he was pretending to be an Astros fan. He's getting everyone to know, and he said...
Wait, pause, like, time out for a second. Your friend is a Mets fan, and he came to Yankee Stadium posing as an Astros fan?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. He just wanted to get everyone riled up, so...
Needs some attention.
Once he got,
okay,
like, in there by, like, 118... So somebody said, like, once Judge comes up and hits it, you're going to have to make sure to run out of the stairs before everyone chases you because everyone's really mad at him.
Hey.
And as soon as he hit the walk-off, people came for him yelling at him. It was crazy.
Yeah, you got the thing is, the security does a great job, and I watched. Security had the bleachers in check. I saw security walking some kid out. He was so drunk, he just was, like using the wall to hold himself up. But, if you're not a Yankees fan in there and you come there looking for that attention, be careful what you wish for because you might get some attention that you don't want. I understand it's fun at first to be like, oh, I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm going to step into this environment and be an Astros fan. Nah, because we'll treat you like an Astros fan.
Yeah. But there's like a lot of hate. I've done that at Citi Field, but it's completely different because like Mets fans are soft and stuff.
Hey, you said it, not me. Citi Field is a different vibe. Yeah. It's not
different.
Yankee Stadium. They do their own things over there. That's none of my business. That's none of my business.
I hear that. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for taking my call. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Ben. Thanks for painting a picture of how the stadium was for you. I love that. I love when fans call and say, hey, I was at the game. It was packed. It was great. Call me up. I mean, I don't have that much time left. We got some people on hold, but I'll try and get through these calls quicker when we come back from this break.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your teams, your station. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
Oh, man, that Yankees defense. I'm in here rewatching the game on Yankees Encore. I know they don't call it anymore. Call it that anymore, but rewatching the game either way. And that double play where Gleyber Torres like caught the ball like on the ground and made the throw from his knees. I remember being in the stadium, me, David, Joe's McFly, talking Jake, and I'm screaming, I'm like, it has to be two. It has to be two. Yeah. needed the double play there, had to get the double play there. And I was like, all right, maybe they carry that momentum into the bottom of the inning. But they didn't. They didn't score. But the Yankees defense, man, much improved. There's stats and there's numbers out there now. Sweeney put out some stats. I won't read them to you. That'll be boring. I think it's better to keep talking to the fans while I have this little bit of time. But if you're not following Sweeney Murdy, he's great. Obviously, he does the post game here. And if you scroll back to 16 hours ago on his Twitter, he says, the Yankees are the best defensive team in MLB, according to data from Sports Info. That is led by Trevino, Torres, LeMahieu, Donaldson, and the pitching staff. And there's a whole chart there. It's got 99 retweets. I'll retweet it to make it 100. And 407 likes. It just tells you, man, this team is different. It is a different time. Defense wins championships. Dan is in Edison, New Jersey, next up on The Fan.
What is up? What is up, Keith, man? It's a pleasure talking to you again. I think we talked last week, and, you know, ever since then, the Yankees did their thing, took 2 out of 3 from Toronto and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
You know, can't complain with that.
No complaints.
And then, you know, today going into the game, you know, you had those feelings about Houston because I think they just rub all of us the wrong way.
Forever.
They'd be, if you were to ask all current Yankee fans over the last 5 years, which team, you know, do you dislike the most? And, you know, of course, I hate Altuve, Bregman's a punk, you know.
Gurriel.
Like, these guys they just rub me the wrong way, you know. And the bottom line is, you know, you start off that game today and Tyone gives up a 3 spot. And you're like, oh, man, come on. You know, this isn't the way I want to see the game start. But then all of a sudden Stanton does his thing in the first, 3-3. After that, you know, you get that, you know, Yordan is a beast. So, you know, but Tyone didn't have it anyway. Either way, he came after that 3-run home run. The team basically didn't do anything, right? And then Albert Abreu comes in. You got first and second. And you got Altuve on deck, and I mean, we were chanting at him all night, but he was still he was knocking hits left and right, right? So that double play was huge. I mean, I think that was a turning point of the game right there. Because if we go down 7-8, you know, 8-3, then it's a whole different ball game, you know, because we didn't have the top end of the bullpen. We had the you know, the lesser guys. So Abreu did a great job, and then I can't say enough about Trevino, bro. He is. You know, he's been coming through in the clutch left and right. You know, that throw he made when the other day at over at third base.
Yeah, that pickoff.
You know, to get that pickoff with Donaldson, that was a
he's an all-star. Awesome throw. He's going to be an all-star. He's going to be in the all-star game representing the New York Yankees this year.
He deserves it. You know, I think he has the second highest average on the team after Judge, which is crazy.
And
but
they played him back-to-back days. So finally. Expect Higgy to be in the lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, he will
be, but I that's fine. I understand what they're doing, and it's like it's a thing where they're setting it up, right? So Higgy will catch tomorrow, and then it's a night game, or tonight. It's already Friday. Tonight, Friday night game, Verlander versus Severino. Cool. And then the next day, it's a 1:05 start, so then Trevino should be back in for Saturday, and then maybe he'll catch Sunday, or maybe Higgy.
Well, either way, look, he's hitting some home runs, but I trust Trevino so much more right now in a big spot. After, you know, first of all, I thought IKF was safe, but it was too close to overturn, I think. If they had called it safe initially, they probably would have left it safe. But anyway, you know, right after that, Trevino comes up with a big hit. And, you know, the funny thing about tonight, their closer, Presley, and I know we could hit him. He walked the first two guys, and that just reminds me of what Chapman does in the ninth. And it just, please, bro, Chapman, you know, we got to, all the Yankee fans need to just attack Cashman and let him know, you know, and Boone, I cannot have that guy back in the ninth. He's going to walk guys. He's going to get, my blood pressure is going to go through the roof.
Dan, I feel like they had that conversation already. If you just Google Aroldis Chapman, and then click on news. The latest news is Yankees Aroldis Chapman reacts to Clay Holmes as closer. He says he's ready for any Yankees role with Clay Holmes. I think that Boone already called him into the office and said, hey, bro, you see he broke Mariano's record? 31 1/3 scoreless innings?
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, I'm happy to hear that. Last time I heard Boone say some things that I didn't like. But either way,
and what did I tell you? Not to cut you off, but that night, someone mentioned what Boone said. Hashtag Boone said on Pinstripe Strong. We used to say hashtag Boone said. Boone says a lot of things. And when the first press conference came of the season down in spring training, Boone said Gio Urshela was the starting shortstop of the
year. You're right. You know, you said that last time, so I got to respect you on that. But, you know, the bottom line is, Judge, you know what? Let's make him captain right now. What if we did that? Let's make him captain.
They can't put that captaincy on a guy that can go right test now. Free agency.
Maybe we could do that. That's our play.
That C's for contract. We got to give him a big contract, and then he'll get the captaincy.
Yeah, he's not going nowhere, man. He's the one Yankee on this team right now who's homegrown. You know, we drafted the guy, and you know how much money that the Yankees have made on him in the last
exactly
6, 7 years?
What I've said. I'm like, he's already made the millions upon millions
he's
upon
the
millions.
He's made millions and he's gotten paid nothing. They've made so much money that no matter what they pay him, they're still making out. Because he's been the face of the team for the last 5 years.
6 years. He came up in 2016. I was at his game. He hit a home run his first at bat, him and Tyler Austin. I'm like, oh, man, it's Judgment Day. He hits a home run. They build the judges' chambers for him. He's the face of baseball. He's on MLB The Show cover. He wins Rookie of the Year. Should have won MVP that year. He wins the Home Run Derby that year. It's done.
I mean, he deserves everything he gets. But the bottom line is, you got to admit, this season, he hasn't been able to pull the home runs. This season, he's doing it differently. He has made a change in his swing because he's able to just terrorize the ball and pull it like I have never seen him. In the past, he'd go to right a lot more. Now he's just crushing it.
It is easy for him. It's like baseball is hard. He steps in the box, and it is easy for him.
Bro,
all these pitchers fear him. There's not one pitcher that'll go at him. And the craziest thing about Aaron Judge is that these umps call these low strikes on him and make it even harder for
him. I want the auto strike zone. I want the automatic strike zone.
Auto strike zone, he's Barry Bonds.
Please, bro, auto strike zone. He would have so many more walks and, I mean, better batting average, bro. Bottom line is, right now, he's just on another level. And as long as we get Rizzo behind him, who's going to, you know, because the last thing we want is him getting walked. I know Rizzo has a low batting average, but he comes through in the clutch. So,
Rizzo is a veteran and a great hitter.
And on it, last point, Rizzo at first base this year, He must have saved like 20 or 30 balls Luke Voit, bro, would have not even come close to.
Luke Voit, is hurt. I think me and David Rifkin were talking about that. He got scratched from the lineup. It's like, man, could you imagine? Like, we had Luke Voit and he's hurt again. I was talking to someone the other day about the fact that we used to go to Mike Ford off the bench as our left-handed bat.
Like, bro,
down bad.
His defense is so lovely. Just watching him play, the way that he's able to step off the other side of the bag, make the catch, come off the bag.
He told Rugi last year, he said, throw it anywhere. That's confidence.
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful watching him play, man. I'm going to let you go get some more callers. Let's take this Rangers series 3 out of 4, and let's, show him how hard it's going to be to see us.
Gotcha, Dan. We're playing the Astros, though. I know. Loopy on the late night. It's getting late. Not the Rangers. The Astros. Charles is in Muncie, New York. Next up on the Fan. What's up, Charles?
Hey, what's up, Keith? How are you?
Great. I'm watching the game over in here, and I love doing that. If I wasn't working, I'd probably be home doing this. I love going to the game and then watching it through the broadcast for like things that you don't see, and like I know what's coming, so I'm gearing up for this ninth inning.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. First of all, I just want to say that you're a great person to listen to every night. I'm in college, listen to the dorm. The boys are pumped for the Yankees right now. They're rolling.
Let's go.
Be better right now.
Appreciate it, fellas. You guys almost done? You're in the dorm? You got summer class?
Yeah, we're almost done.
Okay, I was about to say, cause college should be done. The elementary school is about to be done.
It's like a different type of college, yeah. But I have one question. First of all, I also remember. I think it was your first time on the Fan. You were talking about the Yankees win streak when last year. Maybe you were saying, everyone was asking, when do you think this is going to be over? And you were saying, you never put a cap on it. Is that true? Could be I'm wrong.
Yeah. So my audition tryout was August 25th, and that was in the midst of the Yankees winning streak, their 13 game winning streak last year. And I said, I'm not going
to
be the guy to say,
first one.
I'm not going to be the guy to say it's over at 13. Right. But I think I did have a call that night where I said, if I had to guess, if I had to, put a bet on it, I would say Oakland, because, when the Yankees go out to Oakland, that place sucks. And what happened? The winning streak ended in Oakland. We struggled in Oakland last year. Like Tony Kemp was turning into Ken Griffey.
Yeah, but I have one question for you. Judge takes a day off, right, and he comes back and hits two home runs, right? Is it possible, do you see a chance that, they give him the money tomorrow by the arbitration and they offer him the contract and he takes it?
Mm-mm.
Do you see that as not a chance?
not what I know of the New York Yankees. I think the New York Yankees actually are going to stick to the script. They're going to go in there with that $17 million. And they're going to go in there and explain why they think he's worth $17 million, and they're going to lay it all out. And Judge said he's not negotiating. But I heard C-Mac today, and shout out to C-Mac and Tommy today. I listened to them today. They did a great job filling in for Carton and Roberts.
Yeah, I listened to that too. Good stuff.
C-Mac was saying, it's kind of strange, right? Judge said he doesn't want to negotiate. He said he doesn't want to talk about this during the season, but he's saying he's showing up to a Zoom meeting with a suit on, and he's going to be glued to that and, locked in on that. It's like, I understand it's your life, but at the same time, you said you don't want to be distracted by that. This seems like a distraction, right? Well, clearly not.
Right.
The guy just walked us off tonight, and he's going to have that meeting tomorrow, and then I'm sure he's going to bring his A game against Verlander later on tonight as well.
Right, but do you think that Cashman and Hal are going to give? They're going to tell him something.
I'm telling you, they're going to. I think they're going to settle somewhere. But I would not expect the Yankees to go into this and say, oh, we were just kidding about the $17 million, Judge. You want the 21, here's the 21, and here's another contract offer. I don't think there's any contract offers. And that's what people listening got to understand. I think I cleared it up for one of the callers. This has nothing to do with his next contract. This is his current contract, the final year of his contract, and what he's worth, right? There's control, and that's why this goes to arbitration. Go for it.
Sorry to cut you off.
No,
if they start, let's say they say 17 and Judge says 21, right? Do you think that that puts a bad taste in Aaron Judge's mouth? You're not giving me what I want.
They put a bad taste in my mouth when I'm driving to the stadium on opening day, listening to Tiki and Tierney going to join the show at Hard Rock Cafe, and I'm hearing, oh, the Judge contract. I'm hearing the reporters ask Judge about the contract. How much was it? Did you decline it? Learn more? And I'm why are they doing this on opening day? And Judge is like, I got to get ready for stretch. And I'm like, I don't know why they disrespected that man. So he had a bad taste in his mouth from game one.
Right, I hear you.
And look how he's played.
Nice.
Look at the tear he's been on all year with a bad taste in his
mouth.
I think the Yankees are fine with him not feeling them. And then all will be well in the end. All is well that ends well when Judge signs a $300-plus million contract with the Yankees.
Right. No, I was listening to Susan's start of the game after the game. I was listening on the radio, and Judge was talking about the love for the fans and this. I'm like, okay, that's a good sign. That's a good sign going into.
Judge always acknowledges the fans, and I love that because it's like, how can you not? And I feel like he does that, and other guys do that. Trevino, these guys walk it off, and they say, this is the best place to play in the league. This place has the best fans in the world. There's nothing like it, nothing better. Charles, thanks for the call. Let's get another Charles on the phone, but this is Charlie out in Danbury, Connecticut, on the Fan.
Good morning, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. And you're right, Aaron Judge, he's going to get the money. He can't lose now, even if he loses in the arbitration. I thought since the start of the season, 8 years, $300 million was very fair. And that he loses tomorrow and the arbiter awards him $17 million. So when it's time to sign the next contract, oh, $300 million? Oh, and by the way, let's make it $304 million because I want that $4 million back.
Right. You
know? So he's going to get it one way or the other. You're in your early 30s. I'm more than double that. I'm more than double your age. And I remember the Yankees have historically not taken care of their own.
Right.
They PO'd Derek Jeter in arbitration before he was eligible for free agency. They upset him. He was livid
And then he flinched, and then he took what they ended up offering him, and it was less than I think what people thought he was worth or could have got. But whatever, you're the captain. You are a New York Yankee. You play in New York on the main stage in front of all of these crazy fans. There's so much more that comes with that, and these guys know that. The Yankees know that. The Yankees know about their brand. They know about the pinstripes, how many built-in fans we have, and how many opportunities come with you playing baseball in New York versus, I don't know, playing in Toronto or playing in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Or playing in Detroit or
like
even L.A.
There's so many other less desirable destinations. They know. They're like, this is the Mecca. This is the best place. This is a number one, king of the hill, top of the heap.
Yes. Yes, New York. It's so good they named it twice. But anyway, and moving on, I wish they'd bat him third. Supposedly
move Rizzo up, or I don't know.
I don't know, but with the three batter rule now, the left isn't quite as important as it used to be with that rule change that a pitcher has to face a batter, has to face three batters when he comes in or end an inning.
Mm-hmm. With Judge, and that, not to cut you off, with Judge, I think he likes batting second. The only other way I think maybe Stanton could bat second, because when Stanton hit his 59 home runs and he was MVP, he was batting second. But, I mean, Stanton hit a home run today, a three-run home run today, which was huge for just, like, the energy of the stadium, the morale of the team and fans. He did that in the four spot. I think they really like having right-handed Judge, left-handed Rizzo, right-handed Stanton. Those three are, you know, tough hitters to face for any pitcher in MLB.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. But just statistically, the chances for RBIs are greater in the three spot than the two spot. And I'll argue mm-hmm. that all night long.
No, you're right, especially with this team where we're talking about DJ LeMay, who's not having the 300 average batting champ year, where sometimes he's grounding out, he's popping out. He had a weird one today. I think I looked away thinking it was foul, and then it was in the catcher's glove and it was out. And I saw the reaction, everybody. I was like, "Oh, what happened there?"
And then one last point with the bullpen, and you've mentioned it on the show already. They sent
Clark Schmidt down.
But yeah,
he's got options.
He's going to, and they're going to be stretching him out. He's. It was in. I read somewhere that he's going to be a starter and for the Real Riders, exclusively a starter, not a reliever.
So good. And so if you read that, that might be another thing along the lines of what I'm saying about a 6-man rotation, or get Clark to be a starter, and then you can take some innings off of Nestor Cortez, Luis Severino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, thank you. Oh, one last. Oops. Are you there?
I was, but that's the famous WFAN outro music, intro music. That's all I've got, folks. I'm actually going to stay here because I'm watching the Yankee game. Miguel Castro's on the mound. There's two outs in the top of the ninth. I usually race home, but I'm going to stay and watch this one with my own eyes since I missed it in the ballpark, which is perfectly fine. What a night. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. They beat the crooked Astros, and they set up to do it again. Might be a little tougher against Justin Verlander, but maybe not. He got rocked. Go look at his last couple starts. Luis Severino on the mound. I'll be there, and then I'll be right back here on The Fan to talk about the stadium, to talk about the game and this team. I'm Keith McPherson. I'm out.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN, New York.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.